Well, this morning I'm continuing on in the study of the wisdom of God, and particularly this morning I want to talk to you about the hidden wisdom of God. And so I want you to turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8. It says here, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, you'll notice here that it says that those who are mature will hear and heed the wisdom of God. This is not the wisdom of the rulers of this age, Paul says, who are coming to nothing. Last week we saw that it wasn't based upon Greek philosophy. But this week we want to see that it's not based upon the rulers of this age. It says here, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. So what we need to ask ourselves is, what is the wisdom in rulers? What kind of wisdom do they have that we should not follow, that we should not think will either save us or help us to live the Christian life? What would you say that is? The wisdom of the world that comes from man, that's a good start. That's a good place for us to begin. What kind of wisdom do rulers in specific promote? What kind of wisdom do they promote? It is the wisdom of the world, as Rita's just said to us, but what further is it? Yeah, Dave. Mm-hmm.
Even David, when he saw Bathsheba, he was looking over his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from that, there's a prideful leadership style there that denies God, and it's all man's.
That's very good. Very good, Dave. Anyone else want to add to that? I'm going to say a few things, interact with us, but go ahead, David.
Like, it could be anything from common sense stuff to weird philosophy.
Anything from common sense to weird philosophy. No doubt there's that. I think that what we need to understand is that the rulers of this age always promote that which they believe, at any rate, will strengthen their own rule, as David was saying, in terms of pride, and they're thinking that they are great. But they also promote the things that appear to be the things that will give strength and power, not only to themselves, but to their kingdom or their country. They promote riches or wealth. They promote military might and strength. They promote everything that would give the appearance, at any rate, that all is well and all is safe. And yet that's not at all what the Lord would have us as Christians focus upon, or even that the kind of wisdom that we would promote with other people. So unless a ruler is ruling according to biblical principles and obeying biblical commands, this is how I understand this, all that they attempt to build and That's what they do. They try to build our country. They try to make it stronger. Or as our president says, they want to make it great again. It will come to nothing unless they use biblical truth and principles. Now, this is very important that we understand this, especially at the point in time in which we are now, and the president of the United States who we have now. Our president, we need to pray for. He has appeared to have surrounded himself with good men, many of them, and he's under vicious attacks from the media, which are unjust in many ways. But it appears to me that what he really needs is he needs the wisdom from above. That if he could come to Christ, or if people will promote with him biblical principles, then I think that we would see some really good and great things taking place in our nation. I think that we need to do that. But the wisdom which is in God, and the wisdom that comes from God, is hidden from the natural man. I've talked to you about the natural man before, but I want you to try to tell me from the scriptures or in your own understanding of what it means, the natural man. What is a natural man versus a spiritual man? Oh, this is good. Yeah, Maria Elena. Dead in his trespasses and sins, yeah. He doesn't seek the Lord. Anyone else?
Someone who is concerned only with earthly matters, what he will eat, what he will drink, what he will wear, how to be comfortable in this life, thinks that Christian faith and behavior is foolish, does no good.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's very good, Matt. Yeah, the natural man, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Because they're spiritually discerned. And so I think what you and I need to understand is that each and every day we are surrounded by many people who are natural men and women. If we see that, if we understand that, then we will, I think, pray to see if we can introduce the wisdom that is of God to them in even little ways or practical ways or pertinent ways. Now, what God reveals to men is that they are not wise by nature. That's what He reveals to them in the Scriptures. They're not wise in their own nature, their own nature that they were born with and grew up with, and they've accumulated, many of them, a good deal of knowledge and maybe even worldly and earthly wisdom, and yet they don't know God, and because of that, because of their being outside of Christ, their nature will not seek Him to find Him, and so really they need the gospel and they need God to come to them and regenerate their heart. God sent His only begotten Son into the world in the incarnation to become a man and to die for the sins of everyone who would trust in Him. That is the wisdom of God, which the world thinks is foolishness, often makes fun of it, often makes fun of the gospel. Oh, I don't need that. Don't talk to me about that. See, that's the kind of thing that you and I will get at work, sometimes even in our own home, sometimes from our own children. I was like that with my father before I was saved. I don't want you to talk to me about Christ. I think that I am a Christian. I was as far from Christ as I could possibly be, but yet I thought that I was a Christian. So it's God's wisdom that He has purposed to save people from their sins. Aren't you thankful for that? That's God's purpose. That it doesn't all rest upon us and our efforts, although God would use our efforts and and promote his truth in every way. We need to see that. But God has a purpose, and it's called here the hidden wisdom. The hidden wisdom. I want you to look with me at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Is there someone who would like to read that for me? It's Colossians 1, 24 to 2, 3. Who's got it for me? Yeah, go ahead, Rita. That thank you for that, Rita. You notice that the word mystery is used a couple times here. Can you tell me what a mystery is? And I will tell you if you can't tell me. What is a mystery?
It's usually an unknown that needs to be sought out or discovered to find out why it is unknown.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's good, but can you follow it up and tell me what a biblical mystery is then? Very good. Very good. I've written down a mystery in the context of biblical truth and teaching is a particular truth related to salvation and to the kingdom of God and Christ that God conceals until he chooses to reveal it. A minister is a steward of the mysteries of God. What is the mystery revealed here in these verses? Can you tell me the verses that Rita just read for us? He does say what that is.
Christ in you.
That's correct. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the duty of each and every minister then, according to these verses? Excellent. Excellent. To warn every man, teach every man in all wisdom, the wisdom of the Scriptures, everything related to God Himself, to Christ Himself, to the Gospel, so that they may grow up into Christ, having believed in Him, that they might be made perfect in Christ through His sanctifying and glorifying grace. Isn't that precious? Oh, that's so precious. So powerful. And it should show us something, that oftentimes the Lord works in ways that appear to be hidden to us in His wisdom. It's not as though He's hidden it in terms of the written Word of God. It's not as though that we as His saints don't want to proclaim that. But it's that He has a purpose behind all that He does. I hope that you can see that from the verses that were just read to us. What are the riches of the full assurance of understanding that are talked about here? The riches of the full assurance of the understanding. That's found in verse 2 there of chapter 2 of Colossians. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. It's the greatest mystery of all, isn't it? The greatest mystery of all, the mystery of God, both in the Father and in Christ Jesus the Son, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are those truths that will permit us to know God and to have fellowship and communion with God, because Christ is in us by His Holy Spirit leading us into all the truth of His Word. Isn't that good? Oh my. I just want you to see this morning how precious and how powerful the truth of the Word of God is. You know, you can read the Word of God over and over again, and yet you can miss whole phrases. Or you might understand one thing about a phrase and not understand another thing about a phrase. But as you meditate upon it, as we're doing here this morning, then you really grow in wisdom and understanding by the Spirit's working in your heart. Do you see that? Nicholas Byfield, the Puritan, says, "The admirable excellencies of wisdom and knowledge in Christ are said to be hidden first in respect of our apprehensions, because we never can reach to the depth of them. In respect of the cross that followed Christ and His members, for the cross, like a veil, obscured the glory of Christ's perfections both in Himself and the communication of His gifts to His members. And may not this teach us," he says, "singleness of heart and humility, even more to seek to be good than to seem to be so? Christ was contented His treasures should be hidden. And shall we fret ourselves when our drops of grace are not admired?" Oh, I thought this was precious. "Shall it not be enough for us that we appear in glory when His glory shall be revealed?" he says. I think this is very precious because it should lead us here this morning to see the hidden wisdom of God, that you and I should be content with the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of the Scriptures that God gives to us, and that we should meditate upon these things day after day in order that we might prosper spiritually with all of these good things that He's given to us. They're a treasure. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are found in God Himself, but revealed to us in the Scriptures, so that we might understand Him better, and then as Christians that we might grow up and be useful to Him, to teach others the wisdom that He has taught us. This wisdom is, I'll just go for just a couple more minutes here. This wisdom is hidden from those who think that they are wise in themselves. And I want you to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, these very famous verses, Matthew 11, 25 to 27. Who will read that for me? Matthew 11. 25 to 27. Matt?
"At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
Oh, very good. Thanks for that, Matt. Now, Jesus is praying here, and what's he praying for? Can you tell me? He's thanking the Lord, first of all, for something. What's he thanking the Lord for?
That he's hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, the people who are
saved. He's actually thanking the Lord that he's hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, he says here, the wise and the prudent, and revealed them to babes. So who are the wise and the prudent here in this passage? Not the kind of wisdom that we're talking about per se, but the wisdom that we mentioned first this morning, wasn't it?
Probably the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yeah, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who thought they were very spiritual, thought that they were very righteous, thought that they knew God. But did they know God? They didn't really know him. They didn't really have the wisdom that was from above, and they even had the scriptures. They even had the scriptures. But it says here that Jesus says here, he's thanking the Father that he's hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, that is, wise and prudent in their own eyes. I think that I am able to understand this. I think I'm able to figure this out. I think that I know this well. And he's revealed, the things he has revealed would be what? According in the context of these verses. I didn't read all the verses going back and forward. But what would it be based upon what follows, afterwards? Yes, Rita.
Well, to babes, which would be, you know, those who are commonly coming to learn, instead of instruct God. And it makes me think what you said about the scribes and Pharisees. I think sometimes if you apply it to ourselves, that sometimes we lean to our own understanding and we think we have things figured out in our own wisdom, and we try to bring God into it instead of going to Christ where all the wisdom is hidden and drawing it out from the scripture.
Yes.
Which takes humility, because you don't have what you think you have. Only God has that.
Amen. That's good. I can't repeat all that, but that's good. That's good. The things I've written down here, the things that he has revealed are the truths of the gospel, the truth related to Christ and his being the Son of God, of his being the Lord of glory, the Savior of sinners, the one who has fullness of blessing and grace to bestow upon all people believing in him. These things are hidden from the worldly wise and the worldly prudent of this world, but they are revealed to those who confess their own ignorance of the knowledge of God and of Christ and turn to the scriptures and Christ himself to find it. Christ is one with the Father, it's saying here, and equal to him in power and glory in his essential deity. And the Son is the only one who perfectly knows the Father, it says here. The Son is the only one who can will to reveal the Father, perfectly knowing the eternal purposes and electing purposes of the Father. Well, we're out of time here, but we need to understand that the hidden wisdom of God is found by receiving God's words and inclining our heart to hear them, inclining our ear to hear them, like it says in Proverbs 2:1-8, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And then you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Well, that's, I think, a good way to close our thinking about the hidden wisdom. Let's pray together. Father, we do seek you, and we pray that we would seek you and these truths of the Scriptures as for hidden treasures, and that we would seek you until we find you, and we find these truths in our heart and mind, richly dwelling there, even as you, O Christ, we pray, would richly dwell there in our hearts, so that we might know you better and that we might be your servants in righteousness and truth. Give us that grace, we pray, to become that way if we are not already in our hearts. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.